Steve Gruber Show. Scott Bertram in for Steve. Elvis Costello in Ann Arbor tonight. Elvis Costello and the Imposters. And I'll be perched in a balcony seat somewhere near the center, eyeing Pete Thomas behind the drum kit and watching him play songs like Strict Time from the wonderful album Trust. Elvis Costello and the Imposters tonight at Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor, and that's where I'll be. Alexandra DeSantis won't be there. That's all right. She is a staff writer for National Review. Find her at nationalreview.com. And she's written about seven things in the past 4 days you should probably read on a number of topics, but a couple on the issue of abortion and the Democratic Party. Alexandra, thank you for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
Great to be with you, Scott.
So let's talk somewhat similar pieces, one at the Washington Post, which reached a wide audience and got you some nice feedback. Well, got you some feedback. How Democrats purged safe, legal, rare from the party, and the piece from the print edition of the latest National Review, also at nationalreview.com. Democrats on abortion, safe, legal, and unlimited. We recall this phrase, Alexandra, safe, legal, and rare, that Bill Clinton coined in the course of his campaign. That's changed a whole lot since Clinton, but especially in the past decade or so.
It really has, and I think the best evidence of that just came last month during the most recent Democratic primary debate, when you had Hawaii Representative Tulsi Gabbard say this phrase, safe, legal, and rare, and I was shocked because this is something I followed closely, and I've noticed that Democrats hardly ever say this anymore, but she kind of invoked this phrase and said, well, I agree with Hillary Clinton, who once said this on the campaign trail, basically, and the criticism that descended on Gabbard for saying this was swift and severe. And I think it really showed that the party is just not interested in that phrase anymore, because pro-abortion activists have shamed them out of it.
And we've seen this happen even inside Planned Parenthood. Dr. Leanna Wen, ousted as chief of Planned Parenthood by the organization, she wanted to prioritize expanding health care services as opposed to making abortion the front and center topic for Planned Parenthood. That was unacceptable for Planned Parenthood.
That's right. She did get ousted this summer. Apparently, you know, she bought Planned Parenthood's talking point about how they were a healthcare organization a little too much, because she wanted to you know, focus on actual healthcare. And of course, she does support access to abortion, but she didn't want to prioritize this sort of political activism, you know, spending campaigns for Democrats, constantly talking about abortion access. She wanted to expand the group's healthcare footprint and was essentially told, sorry, you're not welcome here anymore. You're not doing what we thought you were going to do. And it was interesting to see her come out and defend Gabbard for saying safe, legal, and rare a few weeks back.
Alexandra DeSantis with us here on the Steve Gruber Show. You point out in the piece, you know, these positions that majority of Democratic candidates are taking these days are not really even in step with most Democrats in their own party. At least plenty of their own voters are not in agreement. And yet, you know, you look at Virginia, Democrats took the governor's or retained the governor's mansion and took majorities in the House and the Senate there. Is there any indication that Democrats actually are being punished by voters for some of these views?
You know, I haven't seen any, honestly, and I follow elections closely for these sorts of things. I really don't think that happens. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. The first is, you know, Democrats vote Democrat for a wide variety of issues, not simply abortion, because if they were single issue pro-life voters, I don't think they would be Democrats anymore. They certainly wouldn't be voting for most Democratic candidates on offer. But at the same time, I think there's just a lot of misinformation out there. If you look at the way that abortion policy is covered, I think most people honestly don't know what the average Democrat stance on abortion is. They don't know what Roe v. Wade says. And so if you have a candidate saying, well, I support women's rights, I think the vast majority of people, Democrats especially, are just going to shrug and say, well, I generally support a right to choose. They wouldn't support abortion up until birth the way Democrats do now. But I think, unfortunately, they don't really realize that that's what Democrats are talking about.
Is it also possible that, you know, we're not going to hear questions like that at tonight's debate, you know, in Georgia? We're not going to hear about those extreme positions that Democrats take on abortion, or if we do, it'll be cheered and encouraged by audience members and perhaps moderators as well. But, you know, the positions are not couched as extreme when they're talked about, unlike the way that many pro-life Republicans have their views couched as being, you know, off-the-radar, extreme, far-right positions when they're discussed in many stories.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. And it really, it comes down to these euphemisms that the left likes to use when they talk about abortion. So we hear about, you know, keeping the choice for abortion or even just keeping a woman's health care decisions between her and her doctor. Who doesn't support that, right? But we're not talking about a healthcare decision. We're talking about a procedure that ends a human life. And the more I look at this issue, the more I think we just don't talk about abortion in terms of, you know, the unborn child being a human being. And one can, of course, believe that and support abortion rights. I think it's an unfortunate position to take, but we don't even have that conversation. Most of the time we're talking about, well, it's just a clump of cells or, you know, a woman's right to make her own healthcare decisions. And people, I think, are taken in by that rhetoric.
Alexandra DeSantis with us with a piece in the recent National Review print edition on Democrats' abortion policy, also in the Washington Post, and an essay, Democrats Oust Pro-Life Politicians at Their Peril. There was an interesting case just last week down in Louisiana. Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards won re-election. Close race with the Republican down there, about 40,000 votes, the difference in that race. But John Bel Edwards is one of those rare pro-life Democrats and helped to sign or did sign a heartbeat bill on his desk earlier this year. What do you make of the case of John Bel Edwards?
I think he's a great example that Democrats really are making a mistake by, you know, insisting that all of their politicians be down the line supporters of abortion rights until the moment of birth, essentially, because it's very clear that in parts of the country, voters in general and even Democratic voters are pro-life, at least to some extent. And, you know, not every person's pro-life looks like mine, which is, you know, you can't have an abortion at any point during pregnancy, essentially for any reason. But a lot of people get very squeamish about abortion past the first trimester. And John Bel Edwards signed this heartbeat bill that a lot of people actually support in his state, that Democratic lawmakers passed in his state. And that, in a state like Louisiana, sometimes you make those compromises. And I think for Edwards, it's probably a sincere stance. But it makes no sense to me that the Democratic Party would push people like that out and try to impose these litmus tests because they're going to lose seats based on that. I mean, I guess that's fine with me, but it's at their peril, like I said.
I did read some stories, or at least some tweets, I should say, from voters in Louisiana, Republicans, conservatives, who said they, you know, they voted straight ticket Republican, except for the governor's race, where they did back John Bel Edwards as somewhat of a reward for staying true to pro-life principles. You know, if a Democratic governor is going to go out and sign a heartbeat bill, then perhaps they are deserving of a vote, is the way that argument went. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I kind of do understand that. I mean, I'm not sure if I would have done it necessarily because I, on a number of other policies, I don't think that Edwards was the best choice. But at the same time, you know, if you look at someone like Congressman Dan Lipinski in Illinois' 3rd congressional district up against a tough primary challenger, one of the last pro-life Democrats in Congress, Dan Lipinski is. And people like that, I just have this kind of gut instinct to want to support them because I hate to see one of our major political parties so thoroughly caving to abortion on demand. And so I have a little sympathy for them, and I certainly respect their bravery.
Yeah, well, in the Illinois 3rd, there's not really another option anyway. So I think right. It's one of his, you know, strategies is certainly to attract some of those Republican crossover votes in perhaps the primary and certainly the general. Alexandra DeSantis, check out her piece at the Washington Post and also her writings at National Review, where she is a staff writer, nationalreview.com. Alexandra, thanks for joining us here on The Steve Gruber Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Scott Bertram fill in for Steve Gruber, who joins us next.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Gain practical experience with emerging technology and equipment not found in the civilian world. The Army National Guard can get you started in an array of STEM-related career fields such as information technology, communication systems, special forces engineers, technical engineering, air traffic control, and chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear science. Get a head start on your career in an exciting new field while earning money to pay for college, all while serving in your own community. Log on to NationalGuard.com or talk to a recruiter in your area to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities available to you in the Army National Guard. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Student safety affects us all, and you can make a difference using OK to Say.
OK to Say is an easy and confidential way for Michigan students to report anything that threatens their safety or the safety of others.
If you see or hear something that doesn't seem right, you can submit a confidential tip using the OK to Say mobile app.
Or you can submit by text, email, the OK to Say website, or call 8555-OK-TO-SAY.
Protect yourself and others by using OK to Say, because if you won't, who will?
This message sponsored by OK to Say and MA.